In Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to read verses 23 through 29. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. I want us to learn tonight, Moses was called the man of God. D.L. Moody simply stated, his first 40 years thinking he was somebody, his second 40 years learning he was a nobody, and his third 40 years discovering what God can do with a nobody. In our lives, we face so many things, and I call them the uns that discourage us. The unqualified, the uneducated, I'm untrained, under gifted, unqualified, uneducated, untrained, under gifted, unworthy, unfit. These are excellent qualifications. God will use exactly that. He can work great miracles through us. And Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. For God's thoughts are not our thoughts, neither are our ways God's ways. You know, his thoughts and ways are higher as the heavens, way better, perfect, complete, prosperous, if we just trust his will in our lives. You know, we need God. We need to be ready to listen to him calling us, to follow his word, to go forth with faith in him and forgetting our excuses, all those uns that hold us back. Now we're going to read about parents. Jochebed and Amram trusted in God's plan, and Moses would soon have a choice to put his faith to work also. And like then, God has a plan for us, steps to take, to follow. We need to fully trust God, because life gets tough. Life gets hard. I hear it called the school of hard knocks. I'd say Moses went to Desert University, where he learned a whole lot in those 40 years in the wilderness. So let's start by taking a small step in our Savior's footprints. Egypt is known either as a place of refuge or a place of ruin. We think Joseph, he went to Egypt as a slave. He ended up being in charge of Egypt, and his family went there to escape the famine, to save their lives. Egypt was a safe place for them, a refuge. This morning, I thought of somebody else who went to Egypt for safety. Mary and Joseph brought Jesus there for safety. It's a place of refuge, but if we stay in that safe place of refuge too long, we become in bondage to it. We start to fall into sin, and we need to be delivered. And in the book of Exodus, the great delivery, God heard their cries. The first step is for us to call out to God. Now, if we want an exodus, if we want a departure from whatever is holding us in bondage, we need to call out to God. You know, whosoever that calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. A simple prayer. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I'm sorry for all the things that I've done. Please forgive me of my sins. I want to turn from my sins. I believe Jesus Christ died on that cross for me. He rose again to save me. I trust him as Savior and follow you from this day forward. I surrender my life to you. Please come into my life and fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. The moment that light shines in you and you call out to him, he will save you. He will deliver you from that bondage that's holding you back. You know, there's a lot of us in here that we've already cried out to him. We said that prayer. We know God. He stepped out of heaven and he hung on that cross to save us. But we have so much burdens and stresses and anxiety. We have bondage in this world. So did Moses. And we all can identify in some part of Moses' life. He's an ordinary man, but with God he did extraordinary things. You know, hard times, they don't erase God's promise. Harsh treatment don't escape God's notice. And heavy tests don't lessen his concern for us. Let's read Exodus chapter 2. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took the wife, a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him for 3 months. You know, God's promise lasts over hard times. We read before this baby was born in Genesis chapter 15, verse 13 and 14, there was 400 years of affliction. That's longer than some of us have been alive. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 15 and read God's promise to Abraham. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. The word afflict is not something pleasant. In verse 14, and also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. Yes, God's promise stands through hard times. Hard times led Moses' parents to stand and stand with God's might to save their child. God has promised they will always be, rest assured. In harsh treatment, you read Exodus chapter 1, the taskmasters, they overworked them, they whipped them, and those crazy Hebrews, they still multiplied. God noticed Amram and Jochebed, their faith and trust, and God rewarded them with safety for Moses. You know, she got to nurse Moses and raise him and teach him and get paid to do that. Let's continue reading. We left off with verse 3 in Exodus chapter 2. Is the sword drills paying off yet? And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river brink. Verse 4, and his sister stood afar off to wit what be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when, verse 6, she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept, and she had compassion on him, and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew woman, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. It's true. When we read heavy tests, God's still there for us. There was a test to save Moses, to go against Pharaoh's law. God's law is above all. Heavy test not only for the parents. Think of Miriam and Aaron, Moses' brother and sister at home, what they must have had to go through for those months. I could imagine Moses' mother training Miriam about acting in theater when Pharaoh's daughter went to the well, went to the river. And we read when Moses grew, God's concern and love for his people remained. Yes, God loves you. And that's a great thing, that God loves you. Let's read verse 9. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. Verse 10. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Moses' story gives us hope and encouragement, a passion to love God more, to become a man of God, and for the women in here, a woman of God. It's a choice we make. So let's take another step tonight to choose God. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 2, start in verse 10. This is where Moses chose God. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens. And he spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. And he said to him that did the wrong, "Wherefore smitest thou thy fellow?" And he said, "Who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian?" And Moses feared and said, "Surely this thing is known." My question to you, how did Moses know he was a Hebrew? How did he know those were his brethren out there? His mom nursed him. But in verse 10, the child grew and he went to Pharaoh. You think it was the skin color or the clothes? In verse 6, I think it is, Pharaoh's daughter knew he was Hebrew. I think Moses knew. I think he had a pretty good head on his shoulder. I think his mom told him in his upbringing. I think his miraculous life, his upbringing, how they got to where they were at, how Joseph went to Egypt when his brothers sold him into slavery. I think his mother told him about the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. I think he had a great upbringing from his parents. Yes, they were from the tribe of Levi, a priestly line. We know they were faithful, and we know they served God, and I think they shared that with Moses. Do you think at this time when he slew the Egyptian, God told him he was the deliverer? Do you think he knew already he was sent to save his people? That's a little bit more of a tricky question. Well, if we look at Exodus chapter 3, he seemed quite surprised when God said to go and save the people. We can also read in Acts chapter 7 the account that Stephen preached on before he was stoned. And it just leads me to believe, just like any young children, we have a great imagination. Whether we want to be He-Man or Superman, we want to be a hero somehow and save the world. I think Moses just figured, because of his divine upbringing, he wanted to save the people. I don't think it was God putting that on his heart. If God puts something on your heart, you're not going to be looking behind your shoulder to see if it's right or wrong. If God tells you to do it, it's going to be right. He's going to equip you to do it. And he'll provide all the tools you need for that. But the second step is choosing God. To trust in the Lord, we don't need to turn to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. We know to trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct those paths. Those steps you take. He chose God, and he continued on. When he ran, when he fled from Pharaoh, he didn't just go to the desert and hide out. He didn't just sit back and relax. He didn't quit. He pressed on. He endured. It tells of a story of a bunch of ladies. Let's read. Where did we leave off? Verse 13. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian. And he sat down by a well. Now the priest of Midian has 7 daughters. And they came and drew water and filled the troughs to water their father's flock. And the shepherds came and drove them away. But Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. I'm so glad that God led Moses to Pharaoh for his upbringing. Because I think that's where he might have learned how to fight and defend all these shepherds off. I'm quite impressed with that. And when they came to Reuel, their father, the maidens, the 7 maidens' father, he said, "How is it that ye are come so soon today?" And they said, "An Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds, and also drew water enough for us, and watered the flock." And he said unto his daughters, "And where is he? Why is it that ye have left the man? Call him that he may eat bread." And Moses was content to dwell with the man, and he gave Moses Zipporah his daughter, and she bare him a son, and he called his name Gershon, for he said, "I have been a stranger in a strange land." And it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. And they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. Keep serving, keep ministering, keep your flock, keep going. I think we're on the third step, or maybe the fourth step. As long as we're keeping on Jesus' footprints, I think we'll be okay. And know if we ever lose sight of his footprints, we can just get a little bit closer to the ground, maybe on our knees and pray. You know, God didn't leave you. He's still there. Just call out to him. Even if you don't see him, he's there. He's preparing you for something great. No, we read Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 5 and 6, but Proverbs chapter 16, verse 7 has a great verse in it. When a man's ways please the Lord. That's right, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Now, Moses trusted God. Of course, he's known as the man of God. 100% he gave God. You know, not just 25% on Sundays and maybe 15% on Wednesdays and 10% the rest of the days. It was 100% every day. And every day we are to pick up our cross and give to God and trust God with everything we have. You know, he could have been bitter. He could have been mad at his parents for sending him off or throwing him in a basket and hiding him in the reeds. He could have been mad that he had to go to Pharaoh's house. You know, when our way is his way, man, get ready. Get ready, because God will do some awesome things in your life. And we can't dismiss the faith and planning throughout this chapter, throughout his first 40 years. Faith and planning all throughout, from his parents. I don't think Jochebed just said, all right, let's just throw him in a basket and set him by a flag. You know, I've always heard that he floated downriver, so it was kind of new to me that he was placed there strategically. It was planned. But faith had a big thing about it. You know, we can't just pray and think God's going to just do everything for us without us taking a step. You know, when we get in a car, we put on our seatbelts. We put safety first. We don't blindly pass somebody going around a curve. That'd just be foolishness. Thinking God's got this and he's going to protect us. We don't just pray for a job without filling out applications and doing a resume and doing our work. We don't just spend foolishly and thinking, oh, God's going to reward me with this. I'll be honest, I've been there a couple times this week. But, you know, faith is great. But faith without works, it's dead. You know, 40 years in Desert University, I want to call it. Knowing the Lord, having that alone time with God. Yeah, the first 40 years, he was nursed by his mom. He was taught by the Egyptians, one of the finest schools in the country. You know, his second 40 years, he was nursed by solitude and taught by God. The third 40 years of his life was with the Hebrews, and he was nursed by trials, discouragement, and tests. But those second 40 years when he was in the desert, it prepared him for the following 40 years to come. That same mount that God appeared to him in that burning bush was the same mount that God appeared to him for the Ten Commandments. Why this wilderness journey? Why in our lives do we have all this burdens and stresses and anxieties and trials and things we can't get through on our own, and we need God? I want us to turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8. Let's read verses 1 and 2. Are we at Deuteronomy chapter 8? Amen. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swear unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, and to prove thee, and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. Will you listen to God? He wants what's best for your life, to be humble, to be proven, to know what's in your heart. The Bible tells us to protect our heart. Our heart is mentioned in the Bible numerous times and how important it is. I got one more assignment for us in Deuteronomy chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32, verse 10. And this is going to be a fill in the blank for you guys. I want you to fill in your name where you see the word him. When you get to Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 10, for an example, he found you. Read to yourself, God found Adam. God found me. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 10. God found me in a desert land and in the waste, howling wilderness. God led me about. God instructed me. He kept me as the apple of his eye. If you want to go home tonight and continue reading that, it is beautiful stuff. We're going to take a step to God tonight. And we're going to watch him deliver us. You know, God will do mighty things in our lives if we just let him. If we humble ourselves, if we get on our knees and pray, he's going to do some mighty things. We've seen him calm the wind, calm the seas, part the seas, raise the dead, heal the sick. I mean, he can do anything. There's no job too small for him. And let me tell you, there's no sin, there's no bondage in your life that's greater than his grace and mercy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We just thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy and for always being there with us and teaching us and guiding us and instructing us with your inspired word, Father. May we surrender tonight to your word that we could just take a small step and get more in your word and study your word and just grow closer to you, Father. Strengthen us. It's our purpose. It's your plan in our lives to glorify you. Just continue to be with us tonight as we go home. Bring us back on Sunday, filled with joy and filled with your Holy Ghost to worship and praise you again. In Jesus' name, amen.